The time has come for countries to agree on a common binding approach to a common threat that we cannot fully control nor prevent. A threat that comes from our relationship with nature itself.
Welcome to the Daily Wrap-Up, a concise show dedicated to bringing you the most relevant independent news as we see it from the last 24 hours.
Tuesday, November 30th, 2021. Thank you for joining me today. Important show for you today. Sort of a eating crow moment for a lot of the mainstream out there, the people that you just saw, Tedros himself, you know, basically the stuff that we've been telling you this entire time. Not just necessarily this injection or that vaccine they're giving you wasn't going to be what you thought it was or so on and so on and so on, but rather just that this was going to be something that would never go away. Now, of course, they're going to do everything they can. They're already happy to do so. And the people that want to believe it are just more than willing to pick it right up. They're going to continue to blame the unvaccinated for whatever ails them. Everything going forward from now is going to be because of what they never did way back then. And it always, it's just going to continue forward. I mean, take a quick moment and think about, let's say hypothetically, 100% of the United States or 100% of the UK had all gotten the injection to a T. And then still the variant came from South Africa. Oh, and now we have to start all over again. Does that make sense to anybody? That's not what's actually happening. But does that make sense to you that you could do what you're told, get the injection 100% the entire country within the first 2 weeks, and then a year later, a variant from South Africa can pop over because that guy over there didn't get injected, or we didn't give vaccines to those poor countries over there? That's never how this has worked. That's not how it actually works. And yet this is what they're going to continue to jam down everyone's throat. Now, today we're going to go through more information, as we have been doing for nonstop, to show you that they are continually, the narrative is shifting. The goalposts have been moved, and it's going to continue to do so as long as the narrative continues to shift. And the only thing that's going to shift away from is showing you that what they're trying to do is not working, or showing you that what they're doing is actually hurting you, or showing you anything that does not align with their narrative, and then just going unvaxxed. That's why. But get your new booster, get your 14th booster, get your double dose today. It's going to be every 3 months. All the stuff we're going to talk about is what we've been telling you from the very beginning, based on what they told you, based on what, or rather what they put out, if you were willing to look, willing to listen to what they were actually saying, and what we have been reporting from the data from day one. As even Forbes reported, was never going to stop transmission. It was never going to, it was aimed at stopping, or rather reducing, mild to moderate symptoms. And that was it. And that's apparently not even really doing that. But there's a lot to talk about today in this regard, specifically around the booster and a lot of other things showing you how they're willfully lying to you. I had a great interview today with Dr. Artis in regard to specifically remdesivir and the topic that he's been discussing. That's likely going to come out tomorrow. We got some other important things coming up, coming your way. Before we get into that, though, I wanted to start off with some foreign policy stuff that it's important that we continue to show people that this is happening. I actually reached out to the person that she's referencing below here for a possible interview. He's a journalist in Yemen. But Sarah Abdallah reporting, as of the 28th, Saudi Arabia is currently bombing Sana'a Airport in Yemen. Right. So imagine the airport that's by your house, and imagine that any foreign country was bombing that airport, and imagine the world didn't care. That's what's happening right now. No reason this is legal or even allowable within the laws and rules of war. This is an open, egregious war crime on one of the most impoverished countries on the planet, if not the, during, they claim, the biggest pandemic in a century. But that's all okay, though, because we want this guy in power. I mean, that's even their narrative. And because Houthis are bad guys, so we're going to bomb an airport where lots of civilians are. That's apparently their narrative, with a lot of padding around it. Sure. These are war crimes supported by Joe Biden. Silence of the West, the Western media, of course. It never ends, because they're the bad guys. Let that sink in. That's something we need to realize. And now they're aiming that at you. And I know you all feel that, even though you don't want to admit it, for those that aren't wanting to admit it. Breaking. The Jets are targeting Sanaa Airport. Three airstrikes have been reported so far. No reporting by the mainstream media. And then the next day, same thing. Saudi Arabia is dropping bombs on Yemen's capital city of Sanaa in the early hours of the morning as Yemenis are still sleeping. This is a genocide aided and abetted by Joe Biden and Kamala Harris. And it was same genocide aided and abetted by the Trump administration in the exact same way in the Obama administration before them. This is not a left-right concept. It says, but you won't hear anything about it in the Western media. Saudi Arabian jets are continuing to bomb. This is the actual journalist that I reached out to. They're targeting Sanaa Airport and the neighborhood right next to his wife's house. But yeah, let's make sure you know it's all Iranian bad guys if you want to listen to the Western garbage media and what Israel tells them to say in this context. I mean, this is an absurd, broken this is bad people killing innocent people. That's what's ultimately happening in Yemen on a regular basis. Now, does that mean that there are no also bad things happening by terrorists over there? No one is saying that. But I'm also not saying that we can point to prove what they're saying either. The reality is what we can prove is that this has never stopped and that these are civilians that are there in these areas on top of whatever they're claiming, if that's even what's actually happening. And Human Rights Watch, the UN and many other entities have continued to speak out, and yet nothing changes. That needs to show you something. And as always, this should have a lot. This should pertain to everything we're seeing in regard to COVID-19. You know why? It's the same people, guys. And you are being treated the same now. And it should have mattered before, but it should matter all the more now. On top of that, other foreign policy news, this shouldn't be shocking because this is what China openly does, but it's shocking just because even for them, this is a step that's very flagrant under COVID-19, but this is exactly what the U.S. government's doing too, with different narrative around it. Chinese province targets journalists, foreign students with planned new surveillance system. They're now security officials in one of China's largest provinces have commissioned a surveillance system they say they want to use to track journalists. Literally openly track journalists and international students, among other, quote, suspicious people documents revealed. Now, yes, this should bother you because this is disgusting and this is exactly what China's continued to do. But what should bother you even more is that some of you out there want to pretend this also isn't happening here because they just give you flowery words along with it instead of coming out and going, we're going to track journalists and you suspicious people. I almost feel like I would rather know bluntly what's happening. I mean, I'm not to say that in any way that China is better than the U.S. government. They're equal in my mind, both equally totalitarian. The problem, though, is that we pretend it's not happening here. Now, two last points in regard to foreign policy. This is really interesting to me. This is somebody, I believe, a member of parliament in Australia. Basically, I'll listen to the first part of what he says.
Just finished parliament for today, but I wanted to let you know what just happened. The government, Peter Dutton and Scott Morrison, are trying to shut down the parliament now for 7 months. That's right. They've just introduced a sneaky new sitting calendar that would see if there's an election in May next year, the parliament would sit for just 10 days out of 7 months, shutting down democracy.
Yeah. Let's not pretend here like children that we have democracies or representative governments in any of these places, but that's crazy. And this is happening it's all happening. It's not even necessarily even related to COVID-19, but that's how it's going to be framed because, well, we don't want to come together because COVID dangerous and blah, blah, blah. And it's the same old thing. But what does it ultimately amount to? What I actually think it amounts to is the illusion of actual government and Democrat or representative government dissolving in front of you. They don't need to be there because we're shifting over to what we keep telling you, which is this global governance. And this is just, so why are we pretending anymore? I mean, that's how I take it. Regardless, if they only need to be there for 10 days and 7 months, does that not show you the same point from another angle? They don't need to be there. Sure, we're going to do Zoom calls and whatever else. Yeah, this is the illusion of process. And they're just removing that. Why not? They're going to get paid the same. Who cares? Well, here, in case you think that's not true, is an article discussing this exact topic. 10 sitting days between next week and August 2022. Is this the laziest government ever? Now it says the Morrison government in Australia hasn't had a comfortable few days in parliament. Fortunately, it won't be spending much time in there in the coming months. The proposed parliamentary calendar for 2022 released yesterday leaves the possibility, and this was came out on the 30th, so yeah, it was technically yesterday. The proposed parliamentary calendar came out yesterday and leaves the possibility of just 10 sitting days between the end of this week and August, provided the government calls an election for May, which apparently is what seems to be happening. So federal parliament will sit for just 7 days in February. Then after a three-week hiatus, it will return in late March with a budget proposed for the 29th. Then it's election mode. It says, even accounting for those sittings, the 46th parliament will wind up being the least active in terms of sitting days since the 33rd parliament, which lasted just a year and a half because of an early election in 1984. Just can't miss those little cherries there. That lack of activity is in part because COVID-19 led to sittings being suspended in 2020. Not every comparable country did this. While Canada suspended some sittings, the UK never fully shut down parliament, moving instead to hybrid virtual sittings. And Australia just pretty much said, yeah, we won't get together. Pretty interesting, happening under a guise of COVID, or rather in the context of it, but they're just removing the illusion. But that's what's going on in the world of government, because they're all about you, right? Now, here's one other part that I want to finish with in the opening part in regard to foreign policy. This is the same kind of sentiment here. This is from the New York Times. Israel's domestic intelligence agency has been granted quote unquote temporary permission. Yeah, let's pretend like sort of like Patriot Act level temporary permission to access the phone data of people in the country with confirmed cases of the Omicron variant for contact tracing. Don't miss today how fast this has happened with Omicron. We're barely 48 hours into it, and literally everything tilted and shifted. Everything. We're now giving permission. But why based on Omicron? We don't even know if it's more dangerous. In fact, the data shows that it's not. And they've already basically admitted that already. That's how fast this is moving. Despite already using the threat of it being more dangerous to shift into lockdowns and different things. And one more day later, oh, but it's not though, but good thing we acted. That's the narrative today. So now you have people with confirmed cases of Omicron being tracked using their phone data. They're getting access to your phone. But why not for Delta then? Because Delta, we've been screaming about for months. So why wasn't there an immediate shift after Delta? Why now if Omicron, even though it's still being, assessed? There's something shifting here. This is happening very quickly on a dime with this conversation. Now, back to the point, granted temporary permission to access your phone data. Was this voted about? Like that even matters over there or here for that matter? Israeli people are really unhappy right now. And they've been speaking out and writing articles and just nobody cares. Just like anywhere else right now. But it just goes to show you that this is how this happens when you have an authoritarian government, even if you think they're on your side. Things shift pretty quickly when you realize that they don't care about you and never have. It's all about using you as a means to an end, abusing you, manipulating you, getting you politically motivated to hate certain people for certain reasons when they don't care about any of it at the end of the day. Most of them within that have their opinions about this race or this group or whatever. But here we are abusing the situation. And as I said, this is what the boiling frog looks like. For those that remember, it doesn't even matter to explain the analogy. It's an analogy in regard to the also known as the totalitarian tiptoe, which is much clearer to understand. They do it slowly, one step at a time, so not to freak you out. So you go, well, okay, there is an explanation, even though this upsets me. One step at a time. And you look back after months, you know, maybe 18, maybe 2 years, you know, COVID and all this. And we look back and go, wow, look how much has changed. All with really small incremental changes leading in the same direction that were planned out before you ever got here. This is what the totalitarian tiptoe looks like. This action of temporarily granting permission to just complete access to your personal information on your phone without COVID fear-mongering would have been seen as the wild overstep that it is, but not in COVID clown world. And last point on Ghislaine Maxwell, we talked about this a little bit here and there. It's an obvious sham, as we said it would be from the very beginning. Check out Whitney's time feed if you want to see our thoughts on this, because it's exactly what you might think. This, in my opinion, is an utter distraction, as it always has been, because nothing is ever going to happen here, just like it didn't happen in any other regard in this story. But as Jack Posobiec points out, feds never offered a plea deal to Ghislaine Maxwell to name names in the Epstein network. Now, why in the world would that be? I think you know why. Regardless of that, we've seen this in the entire time, where the judge comes out and goes, no, we're not going to let you see this because it's not proper, whatever terms they want to use, which is staggering. This is a controlled effort, if she's even there to begin with. Now, if you think that's crazy to say, then you have not been paying attention to the absurd clown show that was Jeffrey Epstein and whether or not that even ended up the way we think it did. I actually think this is being jammed back in the conversation along with a lot of other ridiculous things because they are desperate, desperate to make you look anywhere other than their absolute dumpster fire of a narrative or agenda around COVID-19. You have half, if not, I genuinely think the majority of the expert scientific world that are screaming that you're being lied to, and they are desperate to hide this from you. They're attacking people maliciously. Is that what honest people with the right intentions do? I mean, this is bad stuff. So this, as much as it's very, very important and clearly tied into it, is being thrown at you because they're desperate. That's what I think. I could be wrong. Either way, this is pathetic, and it's clearly showing you that she is in no way being held accountable, which was exactly what we told you would happen. Finally, to continue to show you the illusion and how desperate they are to control it, NASDAQ suspends trading in Twitter. Okay, well, you might think, well, that happens sometimes. Why'd they do that? Oh, because the CEO was reportedly stepping down. Okay, now doesn't that happen all the time? Yes, and in normal world, I guess whatever we pretend that is, processes, that's just something that happens. And then the stocks ebb and flow based on those notations, except when you're dealing with the too big to fail Twitter controlled censorship mania, you know, that's what we're talking about. These things aren't allowed to ebb and flow, right? Because Twitter is important to their narrative, their agenda, how they're controlling everything. So whether him stepping down was something that was meant to happen or planned or whatever, the fact is it did happen. And then instead of allowing that to let the market do what it does based on normal things like that that happen, they stop everything. Can't let Twitter fluctuate because it's not Twitter, guys. It's your government. It's a controlled social engineering platform. That's not even a question anymore. Think about that. Now, I was going to say a moment ago, I wanted to make a quick point. I'm going to be having Dr. Artis on, or I had Dr. Artis on today, and that'll be coming out likely tomorrow. It was a really great interview, but I'd like to tell you right now with excitement that I have just confirmed an interview with Brooke Jackson for tomorrow. Now, that won't be coming out tomorrow because we need to make sure that this is done very, very, very well, but I'm excited to talk with her because we've been behind the scenes talking since the moment that the BMJ article came out on the 2nd of November. And we've been going back and forth, and I have a lot of important stuff in front of me that you're going to want to see. So I'm excited to talk about that. Now, she recently just sent me a couple things that I'm going to hold off and talking about, hopefully, because we're going to talk about this tomorrow, but I don't want to get into the whole story. But there's more articles coming out right now that's showing you a lot of this information. But one thing you'll find very interesting, as we're excited to point this out, is that we came out with this. This was posted on November 3rd. Actually, and the actual video was on November 2nd that we did. Quote, it's a crazy mess. Regional director, who's Brooke Jackson, blows the whistle on Pfizer's vaccine trial data. Now, I just want to point something out that I find quite humorous. Is it's great. Great to see that it's getting out, despite the fact that it's actually not that great a coverage, especially compared to what we did. And that's not my opinion. Here's a video that Russell Brand put out. And again, I actually am beginning to think that he is trying to do what he thinks is best. It's hard to ever tell. I'd love to talk to him if he'd like to do that. But November 23rd, so 20 days later after this has been out, and I've been screaming about it, and plenty of people have talked about it, and the media has been ignoring it, he comes out with the almost exact same thing. Crazy mess! Whistleblower! 2.5 million views. It's great. I mean, it's actually fantastic. It's happening. But it just goes to show you the control. Look, now it's passed. 2.5 million. The controlled flow of information. Now, it's interesting. Anybody on YouTube would be allowed to do this because, of course, our content was censored instantaneously when we talked about this, as it always is. But it's interesting. So we're going to get more into this and actually and flesh this out quite a bit. But just consider how interesting it is, the flow of information and how it's controlled about how these things can come out. How even the British Medical Journal can post this on the 2nd, and it takes 20 days even for someone like Russell Brand to talk about it, let alone the mainstream media. They should have been all over this. Instead, they were quietly trying to debunk everything and realizing they couldn't, so they just left it alone. Interesting, isn't it? More coming on that, though. More coming. Plenty to talk about. Now, this is what we opened with, and I find this to be very telling. WHO's Tedros claims the time has come for countries to agree on a common binding approach. Binding. Well, exactly what we've been telling you. So a binding approach top down from the WHO, the World Economic Forum, or whoever you envision being that top down approach having a binding approach or direction to a common threat, which they're calling the Omicron variant, which, by the way, again, we're days into this. They just called it a variant of concern. The information you see entirely coming from South Africa and Botswana is telling you, including the people who discovered it, saying it's not dangerous. In fact, most people have mild cases, and we're going to prove that to you today again from multiple directions. And yet they're initiating this aggressive drive, even though the evidence is pretty clear right now. And by the way, again, they've already since then admitted this and are now telling you, well, don't worry, it's more transmissible, but it's clearly not more dangerous. Okay, so then why do we need a sudden, aggressive, commonly binding approach to deal with this one specific variant? It's almost like they kind of got ahead of themselves here. Like they're already seeing it's not. But the point is, guys, it's just about getting something to initiate the direction that was always the plan. And the Omicron variant, I keep saying Omicron. Omicron does not appear to be what they're telling you it is, if that's even what's happening. Because I genuinely believe to a large degree, which by the way, I pushed off today, but why I actually have it happen up right here, why the flu seems to be driving up everywhere right now, all of a sudden, flu cases on the rise. Oh no, whole Michigan State football team's having a flu outbreak. It's like, well, it's the flu, guys. What are we talking about here? Why is this suddenly reportable and a huge, big, scary thing? Because just disease and virus dangerous now in the context of how we want to see COVID. So anything, anywhere, even flu, is worthy of danger and fear and lockdowns and masks, and that's where that's going. This is just about driving the fear and keeping you in check. That's what this is ultimately about. But his second point is that we need this approach because it's about the risk of nature itself.
From our relationship with nature itself. That comes from our relationship with nature itself.
Right. And this is exactly what Whitney and I have been telling you. This is about humanity being the threat. Right? This is about our very interaction with nature. So you can look at it two ways, because ultimately our human body is an extension of that concept, right? Because we're just susceptible to disease. But it's also about the engagement with nature, the metaverse conversation that we just had, both Whitney and I and Derek and I. And Derek's articles are fantastic on this topic. It's clear that nature is the risk to them, that we need to remove that, to remove ourselves from the real natural world. And this is just this is a thousandth example of this direction being laid out for you. So what's the actual approach if our risk is nature itself? Well, I think that's a pretty clear direction. Only so many ways you could think about that. And here is one of the directions they're already going. See, simultaneously, this is happening. Here's Sweden. And remember, even Sweden being a group that is clearly, at least ostensibly, resisting the direction. And I shouldn't say ostensibly, they clearly are, at least forcing it on their people. But this has always been an underlying point in Sweden, because Sweden has been almost leading the charge in regard to implantables, RFID chips and all this kind of stuff. I believe that was the first location to ever have one implanted in someone's arm for like work and stuff like that. So here in Sweden, it says, get your vaccine passports in a chip in your hand or elsewhere under the skin. It is increasingly popular to insert what this stands for, Internet of Body chip, which is one of the things we talked about in regard to the Great Reset. That's one of their discussions, into the body with different types of data. And now you can insert your COVID certificate with the chip. Right? So the idea being, as you can see here, using these chips in your arm, oh, here, they were showing you right there, to access places you wouldn't otherwise access. You know, so you can see his arm right there. He's checking it. It's scanning it. And this, it's in a different language. It's in Swedish, I believe. That's why I don't have it playing. Or getting something from the machine, right? I mean, that's a door. The point is, nonetheless, that you are using this to access things. And it could be applied any way you want. The bus, the airplane, bag of chips, anything. Restaurant. Now, what's crazy is this is a conspiracy theory right now on Twitter. You can't even talk about this. And they're openly talking about this in the context of passports right now. I've shown you this many times. Not only that, Johns Hopkins University, places like DARPA and plenty of others have been openly theorizing about how this will be applied in regard to not just passports, but vaccinations going forward and plenty of other health related concepts. It's just incredible. This can be openly discussed and simultaneously as a conspiracy theory. But speaking of conspiracy theories, I've got a doozy for you here. U.S. government funds COVID-19 isolation clinics across Botswana. We just talked about this. My point was simply showing you that in March 19th, 2021, the U.S. government, specifically the DOD Security Cooperation, the OSC, Department of Defense, was in Botswana working on specifically COVID-19 related work. And then suddenly we have the Omicron variant that started in Botswana and was in South Africa, and it all went everywhere. And we're going to get into why that's completely subjective and unverified, in my opinion, most of it anyway, before we get there. So thinking about this and the concern that, is it possible they could have? Of course it is. Of course it's possible that the government of the United States could have done something like it's done many, 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 many times in the past, verifiably so. Such as false flags, you know, testing that got out of control. I mean, what, even Fort Detrick, or specifically the CDC, has admitted one leak every 3 days for 7 years straight in places like BSL-4 labs in Fort Detrick. That's crazy. I've talked about this many times in the past. That's how things like anthrax got out, or things like Ebola have gotten out in the past. Admitted to. Anyway, so the idea being that either mistake or intentional that they were present there, I find that very interesting to me. But oh, and here's the discussion we just had. If you want to watch the past show we just did, DOD in Botswana before Omicron. Here's another interesting part of this. Oh, well, and this was their statement from Botswana's government that shows you that their people that they did catch, the four fully vaccinated foreign nationals who entered on the 7th, were there on a diplomatic mission, which is interesting because of the location we're talking about and the fact that the people we're discussing in the DOD who would have been there would have been able to travel on diplomatic passports. Yeah, just now, nothing proven, but interesting notes. But taking that into consideration with this, I find it quite interesting. Again, I even started talking about conspiracy theory. I'll own that, because that's not something you should shy away from. We should be absolutely willing to theorize about possible conspiracies, because it happens all the damn time. It is a legal term that people get accused of in U.S. justice system all the time. But somehow when it happens amongst powerful people, it's crazy town. But WHO, this is a post from November 29th, but the original post they're referencing is from June 21st, the following month, right? So this is March 19th. So it's not the following month, excuse me. I was thinking May for some reason, but closely enough. Anyway, a few months later, it says, earlier this year, we also established a technology transfer hub for mRNA vaccines in South Africa. Great. So now you got both locations basically at the same time frame where you have entities doing stuff. Now, it's not that far-fetched to say that WHO is not probably all over in Africa or all these other places, and it's not saying this verifiably proves anything, but it's interesting to ask why these places, or possibly point out that these groups were present in this location, both of which started this whole thing. It says they were there in South Africa to facilitate local production and regional self-reliance. Here's the point, the post from that time. WHO and its COVAX partners, vaccine partners, are working with South African Consortium to establish its first COVID-19 mRNA vaccine technology transfer hub. Now, let's not forget that these spike proteins that this is producing, these injections and the mRNA vaccine technology is producing, are sheddable and transmissible, and that you could catch and then spread again. This has been proven by the science, by the discoverer of that very technology, Dr. Warren, saying, of course this can shed, of course they can catch it. Okay, so now we have to ask ourselves again whether this was something that was being worked on that got out, and that's now just being called its own variant. That's why it's so different. I've asked this many times. If the spike protein, which they've admitted can shed, which people can catch, which can cause disease, the Salk Institute proved, and then that gets caught by somebody else, what is that? Is that COVID-19? Nobody can really answer that. That would be an assumption. So is that something that could be causing this? Of course it is. So if they were present in South Africa right before this, and the DOD was present in Botswana right before this, and they could have been moving back and forth with diplomatic passports, certainly something we should be asking. But guess what? It won't be asked, because that's just crazy. But bringing this over into Omicron, whatever this is, let's start with this Bloomberg article from yesterday. Omicron puts governments in a difficult spot. Now, what this is really getting at is saying, well, we can't just lock down again because everybody would revolt. That's really the point. Well, because people aren't happy with all the lockdown. Yeah, because one, they didn't work. Two, they killed everything and everybody. And three, you knew that before you started. So let's just pretend like we're debating. And the scary thing is they are debating. I actually think we are going to see lockdowns again because that's sort of the plan. Israel's already shown that. Plenty of places have already shown that lockdowns are coming right back, despite the fact that there has been numerous peer-reviewed research, lots of peer-reviewed research that has shown that they didn't, not only did they not help, they hurt catastrophically. But then you pretend that they're trusting the science and you act like they must look at it, when in reality they're ignoring all the science that has happened around it and trusting the narrative the governments are spinning while saying it's the science. It's fun stuff, isn't it? But they're saying it puts them in a hard spot because now what are we going to do? Markets have since rebounded as the picture emerging suggests that Omicron strain is probably more transmissible. No, you don't say, but causes only mild illness and vaccines can be reformulated to deal with it. Great. You see how fast that happens? One day later, after they've shut down travel, they've put lockdowns in multiple countries, they've restricted travel in front, to and from within the Europe. It's crazy. Based on the complete unknown, which they're going to argue is intelligence because we don't know, it could get out of control. Sure. Even though these things have been shown to not actually help in regard to what they're trying to do. But the bottom line is exactly what we just told you and were censored for, because we were. This is the last one we just did. And we were literally discussing exactly what we're talking about now. And that was already censored instantly. Well, here they are the next day going, oh, but don't worry. It's more transmissible, but probably not more dangerous. So then how are you rationalizing everything you did and everything you're right now still doing under the claim that it could be more dangerous? Isn't that crazy? But it's just like with Delta. So they, at least that's what they were telling us was then. It's probably the exact same thing if you want to consider that it's just the spike or vaccine side effects or vaccine illness or whatever we're talking about. They're claiming more transmissible, but mild, not very dangerous, which means that it is not more dangerous. It will not hurt more people. It will not increase, should not rationalize or justify more lockdowns, more mandates, more boosters, more anything. But they already started, so we're going to keep going. It says, yet the WHO today asked countries to start testing widely for the variant. Okay, how exactly do they do that? Well, you just saw our show. We're going to get into that again today, prove it even further. The only way that these locations, the only way that anyone anywhere can test for variants is with genomic sequencing. And they're now being forced to admit that, which I'll show you, because of group work like ours, because of people like you that have forced it into the conversation. As I mean, we just talked about this, and this was Sky News yesterday, saying good news, though, because we can detect that with a normal PCR test. That is embarrassing for them, especially because even right now, the mainstream is coming around to be like, yeah, we can't do that. Nobody can do this other than genomic sequencing, and not everybody has it. So Sky News is either that stupid or willing to lie. Or Javad specifically, who is the one here talking about this, is willing to lie to you about that. It's that simple. We'll get into that as we go through this next part. But here they are saying we're starting to test widely for it. Well, remember, not everyone can do that. So there is no wide testing here. Saying there's only a few locations, well, I'll get to it as we go forward. Saying it's divergent design could fuel future surges with severe consequences. Didn't you just start by saying that the evidence suggests that it's mild? And it does. And that's what everyone's finding, including the people that discovered it, including the people that are currently contact tracing it in South Africa and elsewhere. Well, how is it supposed to possibly, they're just keeping the fear. It probably more mild, but we don't know. It could cause more of this and more of that. So what we're going to do is, so your hypothetical fear mongering is still guiding your choices. Make sure you see that. Governments face a tough task to balance health concerns with keeping already battered economies growing. You know what they going? You know what they just admitted right there, even though they pretend it doesn't happen when you have it in a different context, that the lockdowns destroyed the economy, not COVID-19. They're balancing health concerns with not destroying the economy again. You get that? It says the world's exhaustion with stringent measures like lockdowns and travel bans makes formulating policies even trickier. Right. Their exhaustion with it. That's what it is. No, it's because it's destroyed their lives unjustly for no actual discernible benefit. Some countries, Japan and Israel among them, have already done it, sealed off their borders despite relatively high levels of vaccinations. Exactly, because just like we've been telling you, like Delta and everything before it, this is not working. And all they're doing now is pretending like it's only just now not working. But it's always not been working. South Africa, whose scientists first identified Omicron, in fact, it has reacted furiously to quickly imposed flight restrictions that further threaten the viral tourist industry. Parts of Europe already battling a winter surge of cases before news of the virus had arrived, are pushing through strict stay-at-home orders. Right. So right now, all of these are being just assumed to be Omicron, just like they were assumed to be Delta before it. That's what's always been happening. Now you're going to see all reports of any test positive is going to be reported as Omicron. That's how they did this last time. Now, all that in mind, you need to realize that they're telling you it's mild. They're telling you that ultimately they're testing widely for this thing that they can't actually test widely for. Here's the Wall Street Journal. Omicron unlikely to cause severe illness in vaccinated people. Well, that's interesting. Who says that? Oh, we're blindly citing the biotech founder. Right. So somebody who has a personal invested interest in the sale of these things. Yeah, let's cite in the headline what that person just yells. That's ridiculous to me. Now, this is blocked because it's a paywall, Wall Street Journal, typical. But don't forget, before we jump over to the Daily Mail article that has the same topic, that Botswana reported this to you right when it happened, that the preliminary report revealed that all four of the very first people this was found in had been fully vaccinated for COVID-19. How in the world can you take that and recognize that it's been spreading through other vaccinated people this whole time and report unlikely to cause illness? Well, of course, because they want to pretend this is reducing your illness. But let's get into what it actually says here. Here is the Daily Mail. Omicron COVID variant is unlikely to cause severe illness. That's how they're playing this in people who have received the Pfizer vaccine. Right. So it's an injection they received for the Wuhan strain. And now they're coming up against something completely different, which the Lancet, which the Journal of Infectious and the Journal of Infection and plenty of other peer-reviewed science has told you that exact situation could increase your risk of adverse events, could increase your risk of antibody-dependent enhancement. Does that matter? Apparently not. So nonetheless, they're saying, but don't worry. The COVID Omicron variant is unlikely to cause severe illness. Dr. Urg Sahin, co-founder of BioNTech, says he believes people fully vaccinated. Now, what does that mean? Two shots? Three shots? If you're in Israel, it's four shots. But who cares, though? Just keep yelling fully vaccinated. With his company shot, are safe from severe infection from Omicron variant. None of that even adds up with any of the data we're seeing, including the fact that this doesn't stop it even remotely. Especially since right now we're seeing people continue to spread this and getting sick. The Pfizer biotech vaccine provides a person with two layers of protection, he says. One that prevents infections and one that prevents severe complications. Like, this is just like a child version narrative. No, that's not what happens. This thing does not stop transmission, and you claim it reduces the symptoms if and when you get sick, which in other cases would have been called a leaky vaccine. But now it's because you pretend there's different layers and that's how it's supposed to work. No, it's not. This is childish. Even the article gets into how, well, one thing stops this and then the other kicks in later. How does it even make sense with how you describe the way this works? You inject it in your arm, which, by the way, does go into the bloodstream and doesn't make it into your nasal pharynx. It doesn't create mucosal immunity. But it goes in your arm and you pretend that somehow initiates two separate things. That's not even remotely what you've told people, because that's not true. But if you don't know any better, you're going to listen to this. He's an expert. He believes that a vaccinated person will have an immune system capacity necessary to defeat the mutated virus, and encourages people to get their booster shots when they can. Right. So a booster shot based on something that's not this is supposed to make this better, even though every ounce of evidence is showing you that's not happening. In fact, they're warning you that it's not having an effect, but just get the booster and it'll help. This is wishful thinking guided by profit, by a person who has a profit motive. That's my opinion at the very least. I mean, I don't see this any other way. He says, quote, don't freak out. The plan remains the same. Speed up the administration of the third booster. The third booster that's based on something that's not happening right now. Just take it anyway, though, because why not? Well, I'll tell you why not. Because of the increased adverse events, because of myocarditis, because of Bell's palsy, because of VITT, because of thrombosis, because of a number of other things that are happening way more than they should, and specifically myocarditis, which is an increased risk to anybody that takes it. Even as an escape variant, the virus will hardly be able to completely evade the T cells, he says. Oh, you mean the T cells that this thing's not producing? That's fantastic. This produces antibodies, neutralizing antibodies, to the spike protein for the original strain that very quickly wane That's it. You know what does produce memory B and T cells? Natural immunity. Isn't that fantastic? I've shown you all this in peer-reviewed science many times. At least 200 cases of Omicron have been detected in 18 countries, they say, including the UK and Canada. 18 countries, huh? 18 countries? Well, most of them don't have the capacity to do genomic testing, at least in the sequencing in regard to this level, but let's pretend like we know that. While it has not yet been sequenced in the US, well, there's an example of something I'm going to tell you next. Some health experts are sure it has found its way into the country and it is just waiting to be found. That's called guessing and fear-mongering. You know why? Because they haven't done genomic sequencing because they don't have the ability to in almost every place in this country. Yet they somehow managed to know Delta was everywhere, because that's a lie. And I'll prove it to you yet again. BioNTech announced Monday that it was working on an Omicron-specific vaccine. Yep. But now he encourages people to protect themselves by getting the current booster. Oh, great. So you're working on something to work for the Omicron vax variant because this isn't working. But in the meantime, get the booster because that works. If that makes sense to you, then you're probably okay with everything else. Next, here is the Regeneron CEO basically telling you what we are already telling you and have been from the beginning. Quote, we'll likely have to constantly adapt our antibody cocktail. Right, but if you got natural immunity, though, that's not what happens. Natural immunity has already been shown to produce against all the variants. People who got sick back in 2020 have produced antibodies and memory, and T cells, everything else we've talked about. The study's right here. You can look at it for yourself against 23 different variants, including variants of concern. That was up until Delta. It is continuing to do so. And since I'm mentioning natural immunity, here's The Lancet also telling you that people who have been previously infected had an incident rate of 0 per 100 people of getting reinfected. All that should matter, but not in COVID clown world. If you get the injection, you'll have to get the third and the fourth and continued boosters, and they're now working to make something new for the next thing, and they're now have to change the antibody cocktail every single time. Does any of this make sense based on what I just told you? It only makes sense when you ignore the reality. Well, here's CNN, Mr. Hotez, this guy who's had a personal vendetta against Derek Bros and who is actively spreading dangerous medical misinformation. All vaccinated adults should get a COVID-19 booster shot. Why? Well, of course, because of the Omicron variant, which it won't work against because it's not designed to. But yeah, just get it, though, because we said so. This is the reality of the broken mainstream discussion. It's a dumpster fire. I mean, it's crazy how obvious this is. They're telling you to continue to get these boosters, even while they're right now rushing to make something new because they admitted it's not working. I just can't even wrap my mind around anybody on their side of this, unquote, unquote. There's not just two sides, obviously, but would walk away going, that makes sense based on what they have just told you. There's ABC News telling you something that admits this even further, but in a way that also challenges the fact that this is an emergency. I mean, here's the best thing to do. Compare these two things. If the CDC is right now telling you, get the booster because we're in danger with Omicron, it's going to work. And that then continues to continue your booster shot, fully vaccinated, I guess, third, fourth, fifth, however, wherever we are. But then the White House is telling federal agencies that they were just trying to force to fire everybody and they were letting do anyway, that they can now apparently hold off on suspending or firing federal workers for not complying with the vaccine mandate until after the holidays, because it's an emergency right now and we'll wait until after the holidays, though. Because that really makes sense. But you know what it really seems to suggest? That this isn't working. And so now they're, well, let's just hold off until we can get the new thing in place. And then we'll put the mandates back in place till we know it. Yep. But don't worry, because HOTES is also simultaneously telling you to do that because it works. Good stuff. Now, another thing to consider is how a lot of these nurses have admitted to you that this was always about sort of the threat with no follow through. Saying, we're going to force it on everybody, and then you let the businesses force it, let the people who give in who think it's going to happen this time, and then they pull back a little bit. Oh, everyone relaxes. Then they come back later, after the holidays. Now we're going to force it again, and hopes that people give in again, and slowly get another 2%, another 5%. Right now, by the way, it's net. We're still under 60. We're still, it's like 50-something percent of the population of the United States that's fully vaccinated. Do you realize how long that's been that they've been trying to force that past 50? When we stopped, and basically it's gone up like 0.1% like every so many months. And that is clearly showing you you're the majority. But here is Channel 3 telling you concerns about Omicron variant should spur unvaccinated Americans to get their shots, experts say. Yeah, is that what they say? Now, why in the world does that make sense to anybody? So people that have rightly so been concerned, rightly so drug their feet and said, well, I'm going to wait a little bit. Then they see that, perfect, I was correct. It clearly is not working. And that should drive us to get the shot that's not working. It doesn't even matter if you want to blame us for why that's happening. It still suggests that it's not going to work. So why would it drive us to get it? This is a fairy tale land of wishful thinking for people on the side of this that want to pretend like they made the right choice. That's crazy. But yeah, go get the thing that's not working because you're in danger. Here's the New York Times writing, COVID news, Pfizer to seek approval for boosters for 16 and 17 year olds. I'm not making this up. They're trying to seek approval for the booster that they're right now trying to change because it's not working. And it's probably going to pass, or probably they're going to pass it for that. It'll apply to Omicron variant, whatever variation of the booster, just whatever they make going forward. It's going to be just the platform. We don't need safety testing. We can just make a new genetic code sequence. You pump in a new sequence, pump out a new injection, new thing, approve it again. I mean, I'm hypothesizing, but at the end of the day, how does it make sense to seek approval for something that you're right now trying to change? It's just trying to make you think this all makes sense. Sky News reporting, Omicron variant, highly infectious, still be super scared. And booster jabs may need to be double dose, says Moderna, the CEO. And don't forget, double dose is going to be double the money, of course, right? That's not why he's doing it. He's a good person fighting for you. Highly infectious. That's what they report? Right. So as all the experts from South Africa and the experts from Botswana and people here in the U.S. are continuing to tell you that it's not, even Bloomberg says it's pretty clear this is mild. Their reporting is, in quotes, highly infectious, scared, fear. That's what this is about. That is gross, disgusting, dangerous misinformation that they want you to be scared about because it'll get you to be injected. But that's apparently being a good person today. Crazy. But don't miss that. Oh, it's a double dose now, right? So we're working on something different, but go and take twice the amount of the thing that didn't work because that's probably going to work. You see where this is going? It's absurd. It really does not make any sense. And we'll get into the three-month part in a minute. Here's the report. Pfizer says it could have Omicron vaccine in 100 days. So again, they're continuing to report to you that we're working on something different right now. We're going to change the entire thing right now and pretend like that's going to be ready in 100 days. What happened to the safety trials? Even your extremely rushed Operation Warp Speed happened in months, but we're going to do 100 days, like, you know, 6 months to 8 months. Now we're going to do it in 100 days. That's exactly the point, because it's the platform, because all they're doing is altering it, tweaking it, pumping it back out. That's alarming. Never before has this been done. So too with everything else they're doing, because this is the new direction that they planned long before we got here. But as Syrian girl points out, vaccine passports may be voided, as Pfizer suggests that it needs its own vaccine. I mean, that's her take on it, but I agree completely, right? Because if you think about it, if they're going to make an injection that's changing this, which is what they're saying, and I've been reporting this to you since the moment this started. Well, even before that, they've talked. Remember, Pfizer openly said they were going to be altering their next shot before even Omicron came out. Isn't that perfect? Now it all perfectly lines up. Now they're already working on it. Isn't that funny? Sort of like how they were like, we were already planning this. We were already waiting for planes to crash into buildings. What do you know? It all worked out. Well, here we are. When you have to realize that vaccine passports will only then be applied to the next thing. If you have to get that, otherwise, because Omicron's now just like Delta, now it's everywhere, even though there's no way they can prove that right now, the passport will be voided. It's, you know, it's her perspective, and I agree with that, but it makes perfect sense, right? Well, here's a couple quick thoughts as we get into the PCR test illusion. That's what I'm talking about here today, because it's always been used and it's been proven to be the illusion in this. And yet now we're watching it be applied again, as it was with Delta. And now that I'm talking about testing people to tell them they're sick or not, I'm talking about the broad use of this to pretend like they have the ability to tell you that Delta's here or that Omicron is here. But just on a quick point, as this person points out, how did the Omicron variant get into Australia? If the unvaccinated cannot leave or enter, That's a good question, isn't it? Well, of course, because we're going to assume that one of them must have snuck by, and that's why, because that's the assumption that works for you. Did you prove that? No. But you see the point? The reality is they're on they're not allowed to leave, enter. They are in a complete lockdown. It is authoritarian land over there, just like everywhere else, but it's open. And yet somehow, because in the, we know it's the unvaccinated because that's what they're telling you, somehow one of them managed to bring it over to Australia. Well, that's what they're going to tell you. But the truth is, as we've been showing you over and over, is that it was brought to them by four fully vaccinated people in South Africa. And that is exactly what's continued to happen since. They just don't want you to know that. But here we are, as Reuters tells you, Portugal finds 13 cases of Omicron variant at Lisbon Soccer Club. Isn't that perfect before we even get into the PCR part? Now, well, Lisbon Soccer Club, right? It's just those dirty soccer players that aren't vaccinating. And that's why they're passing out, too. It's because the Omicron that we didn't know was there. Just a thought that I had. Maybe that's what's going on. In this article, it says right here, Portugal detected 13 cases of Omicron coronavirus variant, all involving players and staff of the top division soccer club, whose players recently returned from South Africa. Seems a little interesting to me, only because now it's, I promise you, what they're going to try to do is retroactively swing around and, you know, oh, remember how Australia had all those cases in hospitals that they weren't COVID-19, they couldn't figure out what was going on? Well, it's because it was actually Omicron, and now it all makes sense. Like, this is a, kind of a one-size-fits-all effort, my opinion. But to the point of the PCR test, Portugal finds 13 cases. Okay. Well, how do they do that exactly? Well, Sky News would tell you that B11529, which is Omicron, can be detected with a normal PCR test. Okay. Well, and of course, this comes from a nameless, faceless Sky News article. No author, apparently, because that's what good news comes from. Just an outlet with no author attached to it, right? That's how a lot of it's done today. Telling you what to think. But speaking with Javad, who is arguing the similar things, PCR test, a normal PCR test. Okay, at the very least, Sky News is on the hook for this claim, right? Well, I'm going to quickly go through this again without taking all the time I did last time. Here is an article from 2021, fact-checking that exact concept. Because somebody out there saying genomic sequencing, not PCR testing, is how they find the variants. That's what I've been telling you. And they took to such a degree that they had to undermine this in the middle of 2021 to say, well, that's not actually true, because they didn't want you to know that, because they were telling you Delta was everywhere. And there's no way they knew that. I proved it, and I'll prove it again today. So even if you believe Omicron is being found, they did not know it for Delta, and yet they lied to you. Don't forget that. But here they are trying to fact check this exact claim. Here's where they say exactly that. Public health officials are tracking coronavirus variants. They're not just using PCR tests to do it, or they're just not using PCR tests to do it, which seems, well, in the second part, since the start of the pandemic, scientists worldwide have used genetic surveillance networks to keep track of new coronavirus mutations. That genetic sequencing, not PCR testing, detects variants of the virus. Now, if I never read anything else in that article, wouldn't it seem to be quite obvious that their fact check found that to be true? Well, yes, because they did. The only reason it comes to the bottom and it says mixed context, missing context, is because they insert what somebody else said about this in the middle here and act like that's what they're ultimately debunking, but that's not what the title says. That's the epitome of fact-checking in the mainstream today. It's a sidestep. You're not fact-checking even the title. You're fact-checking what you said somebody else said about the fact-check. That's juvenile. Here's the other one, October 4th, 2021. Fact check, PCR tests are highly accurate. Delta variant is determined through genomic sequencing. Okay, same thing. Testing for Delta variant. Jade Foles, a spokesperson at the CDC, told Reuters via email in a previous fact check, this was last month, that it is correct that COVID-19 tests for current infection will not be able to tell you which specific variant you might have. Sky News. It's right there. How embarrassing. How disgusting is that? They either don't know what they're talking about and are just regurgitating what they think the narrative is supposed to be, or they're blatantly lying to you. I mean, for me, it's not crazy because I see it every day. But hopefully one more person just woke up to what they do. It says again, however, the CDC uses a process called genomic sequencing to analyze these samples to identify and characterize variants. Okay, so they use genomic sequencing, not PCR tests. But get this, here's what their verdict is. False. PCR tests are considered the gold standard in detecting COVID-19 virus, which nobody was even, that wasn't even the conversation. And the Delta variant is determined through genomic sequencing. Okay. Well, that's what it says. So if you're fact-checking whether it was done through genomic sequencing, how did you find it false? Same point. Because in the middle of the writing in here, they shoehorn in something else of somebody arguing they're not the gold standard. That's not even what the title says. It's just bad. I mean, for crying out loud, this is Reuters. They know they're lying to you. That's what's crazy. Either way, the takeaway is the same. Genomic sequencing, not PCR tests, as the Sky News article is lying to you about, are how they find these things out. And this is the same thing I showed you, the same just the last show I did. Just reiterating the same point. CDC uses genomic sequence surveillance to track these variants. Now, the main point is that they only have a few of them in very select places. And I'll get to that in a moment. Oh, I had this up right here. So here is Twitter, rather the Economist, telling you Omicron is starting to spread around the world. Cool. So it's been 3 days, 4 days, you know. So, and just so you know, we're going to get into this next. It takes about 48 hours for them to get to conduct the sequencing. That's not including the time it takes to send it to the place, to get it sent back, on and on and on. It takes 48 hours. So that gives them 2 days in this process. And apparently we already know it's spreading all around the world, except there's very few places around the world that have the ability to genomic sequence. They're lying to you. I mean, it's just, it couldn't be clearer. Days, or rather just erring on the side of fear-mongering. Days after the new variant was identified in South Africa, days, countries around the world are confirming that they have found cases of it too. But a lack, here's the funniest part, next sentence, but a lack of genomic sequencing means many cases are likely to have gone undetected. Or they don't have the ability to find them, Twitter. Great stuff. If you don't have the ability to genomic sequence, you can't find the variants. So the people that are saying they have it, while they have a lack of genomic sequencing, couldn't have been able to find it. Unreal. Here's the Economist. A lack of genomics, it's just right there. Same point, so you can see what it says. Here is a discussion from 2007 on what they're using, rapid genome sequencing of RNA viruses. Just, and there was an article I had up, but I think I got rid of. But the point being is it just simply shows you this is a rapid method for detection of RNA sequences. And the main point being was up here, just that it take obtained within 2 days. Just that's really what you need. Read this further if you'd like to figure it out or understand more about the topic. Here is the Smithsonian back on February 11th, 2021. Why the U.S. is struggling to track coronavirus variants. That doesn't sound like what's happening. A scattered and underfunded effort at genomic sequencing has hindered the country's ability to detect different forms of the virus. That was February 11th. Let's not pretend they've built up an entire process during the biggest pandemic in a century, they say. Well, they're all scrambling to get everything else done over the last so many months because they didn't do that. And the point, too, is stuff like this, where they're talking about their sequencing process. That's been there from before this. So, Smithsonian reads, the United States is home to a disproportionate 1/4 of the pandemic's COVID-19 patients, has sequenced only about 96,000, a fraction of 1% of its 27 million cases. That was in February. So you know, as we're going to do more, they don't have the ability to do this in a fast way or even really at all. So it didn't happen in the time since February. Excuse me. It says, as of early February, this sequencing rate places the country, the U.S., 34th in the world, according to researchers at the Broad Institute. American scientists and public health authorities have been flying, if not blind, then at least with serious tunnel vision. That's the Smithsonian in February. Yeah, but why didn't that get talked about? Gee, I wonder why. The United States' limited view stems from the absence of a unified national plan and corresponding funds. Well, why would that be? They held Event 201, which found exactly that, that we need a plan, that we need more funding for all of this. And what'd they do? Literally nothing. In fact, they went the other direction. So now it continues to show you that these plans were really just that, to plan out what was going to happen. Sort of like when they go, we never theorized about planes flying into buildings, and they actually did multiple times right before that happened. Same thing. If that was really about planning and getting ready for what you thought was coming, then you would have planned and got ready for what was coming, but you didn't do that. Some well-prepared states, which had sequencing infrastructure and expertise already in place, have strung together thousands of viral genomes, but others, overwhelmed and under-resourced, have analyzed hardly any. Now, what's interesting, too, just quick thought, quick side note, remember that first, the beta variant came from South Africa. So if the argument is that South Africa, at this point in time, has like 6% of people injected, why didn't that explode through South Africa then? Yeah, no answer, apparently. Who cares, right? Nothing needs to make sense except when we fearmonger about what risk you're in and we can't prove it. Going forward, while standard PCR tests skim the virus's genetic code for telltale segments unique to SARS-CoV-2, whole genome sequencing records all 30,000 letters. A PCR test can tell whether someone is positive for the coronavirus. Sequencing spells out the complete genetic makeup of that virus, its genetic fingerprint, including any mutations that might categorize it as different variant. The same point we're making, a PCR test is a yes or no answer. They've been lying to you from the moment they put this out, as if they could tell between the variants. Now, I believe maybe I lost a part on here that I had highlighted about the... Either way, the breakdown here, the reality is, and this article goes into more of it if you'd like to read more, is that the U.S. government does not have the ability to do this. It might be in this one, actually. I mean, that just made that clear there, but I'm looking for a part where I had this. Yeah, here it is right here. So the CDC, Walensky, strengthened recommendations for booster shots because of the emergence of Omicron. They're all yelling at the boosters that don't work already and aren't going to work, but they're going to say, get this one anyway. All adults should get boosters 6 months after receiving the Pfizer, Moderna, or weirdly enough, 2 months after receiving J&J. You know, the 3-month drop off we'll get into next. But here's what it says. However, the U.S. lags after other nations in gene sequencing, the technique that allowed South African scientists to identify Omicron. Iceland, interestingly, is the leader in sequencing, according to Johns Hopkins University. It has sequenced apparently 29.2% of samples. So that's the leader in the world, guys. And they've only sequenced 29% of their samples. Make sure you understand that. Compared with only 4% in the UK. So right now, the UK screams, when Imperial College London yells about everything. 4%. They do not know what's going on in regard to the variants in their country. 3.5% in China, 2.34% in Ireland, 2.33% in Canada, 0.997% in the US, and only 0.206% in South Africa. The point being that South Africa itself should be taken with a huge grain of salt. The number of samples varied greatly, from 5,090 in Iceland to 416,671 in the UK to 480,983 in the US to 6,096 in South Africa. Remember that South Africa is quite a bit different than Botswana as well, because Botswana came out and basically challenged what the US government, or rather the world, was saying in regard to how these things were happening. Now, it says genome sequencing enables researchers to public health and public health authorities to identify and characterize emerging variants. Vaccine surveillance is important. Freudian slip. Variant surveillance is important to determine if emerging mutations are rendering the virus more contagious, more potent, or resistant to existing vaccines and drugs, according to Johns Hopkins. Now, that is very clear. 0.997% of the samples are being tested in the U.S. They do not have the ability to do this. Now, to make this even more clear, as we know that they're making up what they're telling you about where this is all around the world, when basically nobody has the ability in regard to, you know, having, look, nobody has the ability to be able to tell you every sample they're getting from anywhere is going to be this or that. They just don't. Iceland has 29% done. That's it. It's the highest in the world. Botswana told you that the four people that started this were vaccinated, and yet that hasn't translated into the mainstream discussion. Somehow that doesn't even matter. even though they're going to tell you that vaccinated are still protected, right? Wall Street Journal says, no, they're still protected. Well, that's not really what this shows you. Well, I take that back in two ways. One is it shows you that it's clearly not stopping this thing. But what's interesting is the data continues to show you that it's not even more dangerous. So you know what they're going to use that to say? Exactly what they're trying to do with this. It's unlikely to cause severe illness, says the company. Why? Well, because this thing in general doesn't cause severe illness in most and almost every case. So that's an easy way to say, see, the vaccine's working. Except that it's not, because nothing's changing. This thing doesn't give you severe illness, so it's not, right? You see how this is a self-fulfilling prophecy. But here's the next part. Two Israeli doctors, both of them with three injections, were infected with Omicron, hospital says. The new coronavirus variant, Omicron, has been detected in two Israeli doctors. The two doctors had received three doses of the Pfizer biotech vaccine, not Comirnaty, because that doesn't exist, apparently, so far have shown mild symptoms. So apparently, all the people we've seen so far that have been sick have been people that have been vaccinated, in this case, triple vaccinated, and they've all had mild symptoms. But they're fear-mongering enough to basically stop the world right now with everything that's happening around this idea. Two more people have been identified in Israel as carrying the new variant, they say. Health officials have confirmed. By what, though? Maybe they did genomic sequencing. Maybe not. But we don't know, do we? And Israel is just as... Israel's about this... What was the number? I think they included them in there. Either way, to assume that they know is a guess. Because they will, just like Delta, they told you they knew when they very clearly did not. But either the main takeaway here is that the injection of people that are injected are the ones that are spreading this around. And I think pretty clearly people that have natural immunity, which is the majority of the unvaccinated, which is based on their data, don't have a risk anyway. Because they're making neutralizing antibodies and everything else against variants going forward. That seems pretty clear to me. Now, back to the point about this being primarily vaccinated, and that all four of the people that transmitted this in from Botswana to South Africa, or that were brought it into Botswana, were people fully vaccinated. Let's look into another study that adds to this point, but makes a finer point on specifically the immunocompromised. The ones that I've been telling you from the beginning, if you remember, were the last people that should be taking any injection, let alone one that's very clearly dangerous. And what do you know? Right again. COVID breakthrough cases, three times higher in immunocompromised people. Before all this started, people that were immunocompromised were told not to get injections. And then weirdly, it got turned on its ear and they said, well, you're immunocompromised, you're extra risk. So take this even more dangerous injection. That makes perfect sense. This is a Pfizer study. And I think in a way they're trying to make it seem like this is why people are having a problem, trying to like undermine that it's happening everywhere. But this is pretty alarming. I think I have it... Oh, that's right. I just had the study. Here's the study itself. Evaluation of COVID-19 vaccine breakthrough infections among immunocompromised patients fully vaccinated with the Pfizer injection. This was done to evaluate COVID-19 breakthrough infections among specifically immunocompromised or IC individuals. Now it says of the 1,277,747 individuals over 16 or older who received two doses, 17.7% were identified as immunocompromised. That is a lot of people. So you could generally just take that as, you know, a good indication of the general 17-20% of population are going to be in that category, immunocompromised. That's crazy. Which means about 20% of people who've gotten these injections have the potential to be severely hurt by them. Or rather, and let's just take it exactly what this study is saying, and a very increased risk of having a breakthrough infection, which then causes them to be even more ill based on all the data we're going to show you next. And on top of that, the fact that they are overall creating an illness in them when they already have an immunocompromised situation, which was the very reason that they wanted to stop this to start, because it was going to be a worse situation for them if they caught it. So it's a sad reality that if they never took it in the first place, they probably would have been better off. Among the fully vaccinated IC and non-IC cohorts, immunocompromised, a total of 976 breakthrough infections were observed during the study period. 12.7% resulted in hospitalization, 0.2% death. Immunocompromised individuals accounted for 38.2% of all breakthrough infections in the study, not in general, 59.7% of all hospitalizations and 100% of all the deaths, which were only two. So they're hurting these people, pretty obviously. The proportion with breakthrough infections was three times higher. Now, remember when we told you this back then, we said that this was going to hurt these people and they said fake news censored us? Well, here is yet another example of how people that were warning about that and were censored for doing so were right. Three times higher incident rates in older people who were immunocompromised were generally higher as well. So what does that tell you? The people who have the risk are being hurt by this injection, and everybody else didn't need it to begin with. I argue none of them did, to be quite honest, because I don't think this thing is right in any way. But in their narrative, the argument is over 65 and people immunocompromised. They were all the ones that we need to get it for because they're in danger, and they're the ones being hurt most. Three times the risk of breakthrough infections. And then, of course, we look to the actual data about the cases themselves. Oh, here, let's read this for that. That's why I had this. It's here's the conclusion. COVID-19 vaccine breakthrough infections are rare, but more common and severe. Well, that's not even true. They're just toeing the line. This is a scientific study, guys. These findings from this large study support the FDA authorization and FDA recommendations to offer, get this, a third vaccine dose to increase protection. So you just told these people that this is increasing their risk by three times, but get a third, though. That's actually what they just found. This is why you don't just read the conclusion or the abstract, because today these people know where their funding comes from, and they're finding almost the diametric opposite of what this data shows you, which, by the way, that cardiology expert admitted to you that his colleagues are hiding their data because they don't want to lose their drug funding. But breakthrough infections are rare, right? That's what they're telling you. Super, super rare, but more common over here. Well, let's look at the UK, right? Here is their most recent data of the cases, breakthrough and otherwise. Right now, as we just showed you, over 50% of the cases are in the vaccinated. I don't believe that's rare, do you? Now, you could also take this by saying, okay, well, let's take the total of the vaccinated cases and compare that to the total of the vaccinated number and give you a per 100, whatever. That's how you want to do it. And that's a different conversation, by the way, in regard to just the general perspective. But even that then would show you that this is not rare. We went over this already. I don't have the math in front of me right now, but look at these numbers, guys. The over 80 specifically. 8,000 cases just in the over 80s fully vaccinated when there's only 527 in the unvaccinated. But when you get in the middle group here, you have 15,000 not vaccinated cases, and you got 124,936 in the fully vaccinated case. More than 50% of the total cases in this period are in the fully vaccinated. I don't care how you want to break that down, and there's other ways that can manipulate that data. If you have half the cases, it's not rare. Even if you think that still means that it's more dangerous for the vaccinated or unvaccinated. I don't agree with that, but different conversation. 50% of the cases in general is not rare, no matter how you spin that. But the data and the studies are saying that anyway. Not the data, the studies, because they just toe the line. Now, here is the three-month discussion, which also continues to show you that these injections don't work. And they just get the third one, get the fourth booster as it wanes again in the same exact way, which means it's not working, while adding another increased level of risk for the side effects or the effects of the injection. In this conclusion from the British Medical Journal, it says, in this large population of adults tested for SARS-CoV-2 by our PCR test after two doses, a gradual increase in the risk of infection was seen for individuals who received their second dose basically 90 days. And as it says, the significantly increased after 90 days, right? After 90 days, this thing drops off. And I already showed you the study. You already saw this. Here is where we told you this would go. First, listen to what he says. We've been telling you this for a long time now, and we call it conspiracy theories, which I don't care about. But as always, here's what the UK is now telling you, the shifting of the narrative.
JCVI published its advice in the last hour. First, it advised that the minimum dose interval for booster jabs should be halved from 6 months to 3 months. Second, that the booster program should be expanded to include all remaining adults aged 18 and above. Third, that these boosters should be offered by age group in a descending order to protect those who are most vulnerable to the virus. So priority will be given to older adults and people over 16 who are at risk. Fourth, that severely immunosuppressed people aged 16 or above who've received three primary doses should now also be offered a booster dose.
A fourth dose to the people that are having the most risk, that they just admitted the injection increases their risk of breakthrough cases. That's what he's asking. He's saying that right there.
Finally, that children aged between 12 and 15 should be given a second dose 12 weeks from first dose. I have accepted this advice in full. With this new variant on the offensive, these measures will protect more people more quickly and make us better protected as a nation.
All right. Well, we just went over the data. I mean, I literally just showed you all this. The one, they don't even know that variant is there, if that's even what we're talking about. But on top of all of that, giving them something that's not based on this variant makes no sense scientifically whatsoever. It does not. It is based on the Wuhan strain. Let me grab this before I forget. And just like with last time, they'll tell you that this, when coming up against Delta variant, but it makes clear in the study that it's just about varying the variants, that it increases your risk. So you're telling people to take a shot that increases their risk if they come up against Delta, which they're telling you is there, but as well as other variants. And that's what they're still doing, is giving you things based on the original strain. Here, take a third one. An increased dose. Does that make sense to anybody? As I said, there it is. You guys know how long I've been telling you 3 months was pinpointed by the governments long ago. This has been hidden from you. Now the UK is finally admitting boosters every 3 months. Guessing this conspiracy theorist just got lucky again. Right? And it's what seems to be happening. So 3 months. Starting with the people that are at most risk, that it's hurting the most. Here is, again, the St. Louis website. And there was two others that we lost that said this all the way back in February. Remember, February was the other thing we just talked about in regard to the other vaccine discussion. But here is what it says for a fully vaccinated person. Same thing, 14 days prior. Now, it still says second dose, obviously, because this was removed. But it said here, additionally, after that whole process, that after 3 months from the last dose, a person is no longer considered to be fully vaccinated person. That is now where we're going to get to. And this is going to come back. Maybe my guess is they let that out of the bag a little too early. Either way, it's being shown to be correct. Here we are. Because the data from Israel, as well as others, showed you this thing tanked after 3 months. That's why this is showing you the same thing. And that's what the data shows you. It's only so many times that people out there can dismiss what we keep showing you. Now, one of the last parts here, I wanted to cover this because people were asking about this, and rightly so, because this was sort of a secondhand point that I should have done it there. A lot of times I add these things last minute and I just don't have the time to get into it. But let me reassert this for you now. So people were asking about this graphic. This is in regard to the podcast. It says the biggest cover-up in history begins, and under the symptoms of Omicron, which I don't even know how they can be verifying this stuff just yet. It lists a number of heart-related complications, heart attack, arrhythmias, blood clots. And we simply said, they're just going to use this to cover up what the injections are already causing. And then people said, well, I can't find where that's from. I think this is made up. It might be a fake. And good. I'm glad you reached out. So here's where it was from. First of all, here is today. Well, I guess that doesn't work that way. Let's start here. So here is this blog. This is it's from, what was it? I forgot to research this person. Anyway, this is a science blog talking about this discussion specifically of Omicron and the new variants. This part was updated on November 29th. Here's where this is from. Didn't I have it highlighted? Well, I guess I didn't. It's right here. So under the symptoms, a number of symptoms right here that you can experience, it says a number of heart-related complications, heart failure, arrhythmia, heart inflammation, blood clots. Okay. So this is being grabbed from government information, which is what this actually says when you read into the post he made. But so the point is, the next day, He changed it. Now it's gone. Isn't that interesting? Now, why would that be? Probably because it got too much attention. Interesting, isn't it? Regardless, and you can see now it says updated November 30th. So you can look at these for yourself, and this is where that came from. Regardless, there were multiple posts like this that were making this claim, and that's what happens. You get these shots, and then they just disappear. They change them. Everything changes. I mean, this is one day later, and this is already altered, guys. Think about how crazy that is. Like, this is in real time. So I believe there's an effort to cover up this kind of stuff right here. The fact that these are clearly causing these, and they're already trying to cover up the fact that, you know, there's already all these fact checks coming out saying, oh, the collapsing athletes, there's no evidence to suggest that's what's happening. In fact, there's a mountain of evidence. Maybe you're confusing proof with evidence, Reuters. I'll give you a pass. But regardless, there's a mountain of evidence suggests that this is leading to all sorts of things, children, athletes, but they just don't want to admit it. And that's why they cover this stuff up. But they are trying to force this. Despite everything we just showed you, which is not a surprise to those of you following this, because that's always been the plan. Designated Chancellor of Olaf Schools, or SPD, said the majority of MPs are in favor to introduce compulsory vaccination for all of Germany. All of Germany. Think about that. That is incredible. You might expect that somewhere else, but Germany, of all places. Not for any other context, just simply because Germany is in Europe and it's a U.S. ally. You just don't expect, this is way over the top. Compulsory, that's forced vaccination, guys. Remember when this was a crazy conspiracy theory? Just in, quote, there is no alternative to the compulsory vaccination of the general population in Austria. Yep, we already told you that one. So that's Germany, Austria, now forcing their population to be injected, even though there's clear problems here. There's obvious admitted risk. Here's the Austrian government, by the way. These are the Austrian leaders, including the president and minister of health, who were celebrating at a fundraiser gala just days after announcing a full COVID lockdown and forced vaccination. That's them right there dancing with no masks, no social distancing, days after telling you you had to do all of it. This is what one rule for thee, not for me looks like, right? I mean, this should really bother you. These are all the people that are forcing Austria right now to take forced injections, to be locked down the entire country, masks, social distancing, the whole nine yards, and they don't care. Nothing. Doesn't matter. In no way am I suggesting they should be. My point is that they're clearly either aware that they don't do anything or that this isn't real. I mean, you take your pick. Here they are. Now imagine being in a world where you know that you can force people to do what you will openly not do, and there won't even be any media attention. Right? Like Gavin Newsom can get caught twice violating his own things while putting people in jail for doing that. And he kind of goes, "Whoa, I'm sorry. I made a mistake. Do you forgive me?" These people, it's just pathetic how obviously people look up to them as superheroes. So they're willing to ignore that they're treating you like you're a moron. Oh, and we're continuing down the line. Greece enacts compulsory vaccination against COVID-19 for those 60 and older. Right, the very people that are at the most risk from this injection. Great. Forced vaccination in Greece, in Austria, in Germany. But it's all fake news though, right? Because we've been censored for saying this would happen. Derek Rose pointing out CNN this morning saying it's time for mandates. More countries consider a once unthinkable thing that you guys said was fake news. Remember that? Here is CNBC's Jim Cramer calling for universal mandates, referring to the lawfully unvaccinated as psychotic. Quote, require vaccination universally. Have the military run it. Too late. Maybe you're not paying attention. If you don't want to get vaccinated, you better be ready to prove your conscientious objector status. Oh, I see. So you don't have a choice. Remember when that was a fake news story? Oh, you'll have a choice. Of course you have a choice. This is America, right? Did you say no? We'll be back tomorrow. Did you say no? We'll come back next week. Did you say no? Okay, you can't get on the bus. But it's your choice, though, guys. Freedom. They really, really think you're stupid. They think we're stupid. You're not stupid, though. And that's the reason it's not working, guys. Listen to what he says.
Who wants to be the bad guy? So we've allowed a pastiche of uncoordinated health organizations to dictate an on-again, off-again series of measures that mostly just leave us baffled and confused. We haven't centralized the issue to the point where the White House actually seems to take responsibility. Let's see, first was the CDC, and then the FDA, then the National Institutes of Health, mostly coordinating policy through talk shows.
Oh, cool. So you're now finally able to admit that these health institutions were terrible, were horrible, were making bad choices, were doing things that actually hurt people, were not coordinating. Oh, yeah. Remember when that was a big discussion back when this was starting and we were all called crazy, anti-vaxxer, vaccine hesitancy? I mean, everything we were saying, oh, you're making everything worse. You can't say that because you're going to undermine the health institutions. Censored. Isn't it just pathetic how incredibly obvious this is? From day one, everything we were warning about has come to pass. And now they're circling back and saying, look at them and how the mistakes they made. And now we're able to see it clearly. Yeah, you could have seen it clearly at day one if you listened to people like Rachel Blevins, myself, or the independent media, or anybody out there who were telling you this stuff. It's ridiculous.
Then we left vaccination policy to individual companies. Now it's toothless OSHA going back and forth on what's allowed in factories, but nobody with any power is saying the frontline workers need.
That's not even in remotely accurate, by the way. They've complete this whole thing is suspended. Going back and forth. No, that's not what's happening. This is him creating the narrative.
Need to be vaccinated. It's just plain wrong. And most of us are sick of it. Even as a vocal anti-vax minority is always grabbing the mic. This charade must.
Are you serious? Like, it's amazing how they want to paint this as some sort of like, that's incredible. Like grabbing the mic. You guys, I mean, the mainstream narrative on this has completely taken the air out of the room in a mainstream circle. You know, you have to seek out and find shows like this. But apparently, according to them, we've taken the mic. You know why they make that claim? Because they're losing. Because their narrative has deflated and it collapsed and is bleeding on the floor. So they got to pretend like we're just jumping up a bunch of fringe people in their corner, yet simultaneously overtaking the entire medical apparatus. Right. Get your narrative straight, man.
Yeah. The government must require vaccinations, not of this group or that group, not company by company, not cruise ship by airline or governor by governor. The buck stops at the White House. Some of us are old enough to remember when we were told we had to get a needle stuck into our arms because of some disease that was so scary we were afraid to talk about it. The disease was called polio. No one knew how you got it. But you were scared to go to a place where anyone might congregate, a swimming pool, a park. Then we got a vaccine that worked, and President Eisenhower said we would end polio.
Yeah, and that, of course, ignores all of the same exact fear-mongering, hypothetical conversation and lies about what actually was going on. But, you know, vaccine's good, though.
Confused. They being the scientists at the time, Eisenhower said we would end polio. He pulled it off because he didn't give us any choice. Soon after, as if the needle were too hard, they came up with a sugar cube.
Yeah, and remember that what happened was the injections increased the problem until it continued to taper off like it was already doing before they started that program, which was admitted by the creator of the injection itself. Right. But this is the narrative he's feeding you because that's what he's supposed to say. And this is a way to make it sound like forcing it on people was the right thing to do. And it was very clearly not the right thing to do because it hurt a lot of people. But we don't talk about that part.
They being the scientists at the time. And we lined up and took them too. Mine tasted like maraschino cherries. Yeah, like the Del Monte fruit cocktail my mom served, but only better. Lord knows what happened if you didn't partake. But back then, anyone who refused to get vaccinated would get ratted out immediately because we knew that person could hurt other people. The common wheel was a common wheel. Now we're engaged in...
Now, the truth was, you see right there, he's also making up a lie because that wasn't the narrative back then. The narrative wasn't you could hurt people because you didn't have the injection. The narrative was you could hurt people if you had polio. And if you weren't injected, it's possible you could catch it. But you see, he's trying to conflate today, which is unvaccinated equals infected. That's what this is, the narrative they're running with today. You, as an unvaccinated person, are putting me at risk, not because you could eventually put me at risk. You see the difference?
Too much struggle with COVID, and Eisenhower would be aghast. We have immunocompromised people who are incubators for every variant to come, walking around lawfully unvaccinated.
Excuse me? Like, did you really realize how much that challenges what we just showed you? He's acting like immunocompromised people aren't getting the injection. You know why? Because they're not supposed to. Except they're telling them to. But you see, I guess he's just pulling from what he thinks is the status quo, even though he's not getting it right.
That's psychotic. We have companies that have tried hard to get people vaccinated and now backing down. We have governors who want to be president by grandstanding on a foolish state's right issue, the right to get sick and get other people sick.
Foolish.
So it's time to admit that we have to go to war against COVID.
Ah.
Require vaccination universally. Have the military run it. If you don't want to get vaccinated, you better be ready to prove your conscientious objector status in court.
How dare you? I mean, this guy acting like he has the right to make this lay that you better be ready to prove the. I mean, just imagine if this was some other injection that he didn't agree with. I wonder if he would have the same statement, right? I mean, it's just so obvious that this is something that they already politically align with. But states' rights is a foolish thing? Right, it's foolish. Who cares about that very clearly constitutional right? Like, that's pathetic. The one they want to talk about, that's the one that matters. Meanwhile, you're foolish for caring about this other equally important thing. This is just politics, guys. It's never been more obvious. This guy's always been a central player in this political manipulation. It's just clear how aggressive they want. They're trying to rationalize forcing this on everybody, just like other countries have already started to go, because that's the plan. Now, here's somebody who has a really good point, and I love how it got tagged with science because they think he's going to say something that goes along with their narrative. Until watch, it's probably going to end up circling back and making it misinformation like it did with that other lady, right? Where she's a doctor, so it tagged science because it looked like she was going to say something pro-COVID vaccine, and it turned out she wasn't. Then they came back and misinformationed it later. It's funny. Algorithms. But here's what he says. Let's face it. Unvaccinated people haven't bought into this mess from the start. You see, that's why they're going, oh, good, science. Name it science, because he's on our side. In general, they, therefore, do not go for COVID tests. Correct. By logic, then, most new cases are coming from people who bought into the propaganda. Correct. People who got vaccinated. Exactly. And go for tests. Exactly. Makes sense, he says. He says, we're all being played in this merry-go-round, which has no end in sight. Vaccinated and unvaccinated alike. Everyone are suffering with this craziness now. Now, think about what he's saying right there. This is a no-brainer. Are we going to pretend that the people that don't want the injection are the people that are going to go get tested every day? I mean, maybe some percentage, but by and large, it's obvious that the people that are concerned about all of this aren't buying it, right? They're not getting tests. They're not playing into this. They don't have the tracking apps on their phones. So basically everything is happening in the vaccinated categories and they're just blaming it on everybody else. At least based on this concept, I agree with that. I agree 100% with what I just said, but you can't take that statement from what just this one tweet. But the point nonetheless is that's a very valid thing and nobody's standing back to think about that. Sort of how they pretend that everyone who's been vaccinated is now on their side. That's not true. You're still trying to coerce people. And every time somebody gets forced into it grudgingly, even the ones that later get sick or die, you still pretend like they're on your side of the narrative. That's childish. But here it continues to show you why this is a breakdown of half the country, if not a lot more. Here is a vote done by CTV News, this is mainstream media in Canada. It says, do you think more restrictions are needed to slow down the spread of the Omicron variant? Well, you want to see the results? It came out yesterday to 72% said no. 72%. You're the majority, guys. Restrictions mean everything. They don't want it. You don't want it. The people don't want it. What the government and the media are trying to do is convince you that you're the minority. They're lying to you. Because you're not buying it. Despite that, though, they're still trying to rationalize and push in lockdowns. But here's a funny part to finish off with. How does it apply to everything that's happening right now? Not their already disintegrating narrative has just been thrown into acid, right? I mean, it is ridiculous now because before it wasn't working. Then you add in, well, there's something new that this vaccine's not even working with, even though none of them were before. On top of the fact that we were already in a third, fourth booster zone. Now we're talking about a whole new injection. Like, this has just lost its meaning. And here's the point. As this person points out, this is the lunacy that has overtaken Toronto. Pretty little fascist demand to see your personal medical information to attend, an outdoor Christmas market. I mean, it not only is it irrational based on everything we know about this or any other respiratory virus, but the point being is, how does this even apply to what we now know, or at least what they're claiming they know within their narrative? Here's what it says. COVID protocol for an outdoor market. All guests 12 and up, which I don't know why it would be 12 and up, seeing as though you already have injections for five-year-old, but who cares? Asked to show proof of double vaccination, and government-issued ID at every point. Okay, so, well, two has already been shown to not be working. So you're already forcing people, and you've already shifted the definition of vaccinated fully to be three, but you're enforcing two at the door? Yeah, okay, let's just hold on desperately to some semblance of an organized effort. Like, this is ridiculous. It's laugh out loud ridiculous because they don't even know what they're doing anymore. What? Well, if Omicron doesn't work and we're making an entirely new injection because Omicron's dangerous, doesn't that mean that all the rest of them are currently not working? Don't think about it, though. Just get the third booster in the meantime that doesn't work. This is just dangerously incorrect. Here's another lockdown discussion. And this is just these are kind of humorous. Here is John Bosnick explaining in a private video how a low metal barricade on a street in Switzerland protects you from, well, rather the jab from the unjabbed. This is from anonymous UK citizen. Check this out.
Okay, I know this is going to be hard to believe, but on this side of the barricade, we who are unvaccinated can go and it's okay. But on this side of the barricade, you have to be vaccinated so that the virus cannot be transmitted to people on this side of this barricade. The virus cannot go across there. Over here is the unvaccinated. Over there, you have to be vaccinated. Welcome to Switzerland.
I mean, it's humorous in a macabre sort of way because it's ridiculous, right? I mean, of course, the argument from their perspective would be, well, because we just need a barrier. So, you know, at the very least, to keep them on either side and, you know, be respectful and stay away from the barrier. It doesn't matter, though. I mean, at the end of the day, there's nothing logical about that, especially since we've already shown repeatedly that they can still spread it, they can still catch it. In fact, they have a higher viral load. That is peer-reviewed science from the highest regarded publications. And it's being ignored by the mainstream. I've shown you all of it. But it doesn't matter because once you admit all of that nothing makes sense anymore. And that's already beginning to happen. Well, in New Zealand, they're now giving you permission to go ahead and use the bathroom at your friend's house. Now, go ahead, you're allowed to do that now. This is because you have been really good citizens. This is the person saying in their tweet. The infantilizing of adults continues at pace because you're allowing it to happen. And I agree with that.
And use the bathroom inside.
God, it's childish. This is what paternalism looks like. They're going, you don't know enough. You're too stupid. The government knows better than you. So we're going to tell you how to act and think and live because we're better than that. We're better than you. Just, it's incredible. Finally, if any of this isn't being done exactly the way that you're supposed to be doing it, well, Ireland, of course, is now telling you to tattletale on your family, on your neighbors. See something, say something, guys.
People have to follow the CHO directions. Those directions are in place. And if you breach those directions, as I just spoke about, there is penalties. And so if anyone in the community believes that someone is not doing the right thing, then they should contact police or environmental health, the COVID hotline, and it certainly will be acted upon.
Oh, I see. Okay. So if anybody anywhere is not doing the right thing, ooh, okay, well, that's clearly defined. Right, because you see, this is the point, is they know how subjective all of this is. All of their side has decided that what they're doing, just generally speaking, is the right thing. And anybody who's not doing what they're talking about, generally speaking, is not doing the right thing, right? It boils down to vaxxed and unvaxxed. That's all it really means. That's the stupid part. right? So if you're not vaccinated, but of course, in the context of Ireland and what she's saying, it also means wearing a mask, social distancing, you know, being a part of what they're saying works, despite how the evidence shows that it doesn't work. And you're just going, well, if you don't do that, then you're not doing the right thing. And of course, if you are, you can feel good about yourself because you're doing the right thing and you're a good person as you hurt yourself and your neighbors and your family and put yourselves at risk and continue this problem and blame those over there. Right, because that's what adults do. This is where we are, guys, and the evidence couldn't be more clear. One more showdown, and it will be censored like everything else, and we will continue doing it day after day after day because we're here for you. We're here to continue to fight whatever the next illusion is going to be, right? I mean, this is going to continue forward. It always will because these people will not stop. But what we need to see today is that our efforts have not been fruitless. You personally watching this show have made a difference. It couldn't be more clear. The shifting of the narrative, the falling, the fact that it's so stupidly obvious, the fact that the majority of this country and countries around the world are seeing through it. Even if you don't believe that, I think that plenty of examples make that clear, at least to me. It shows you that you're changing the world, guys. Sleep with that tonight. Understand that you are making a difference and that every single thing you do is reaching somebody. It's powerful. So we'll continue doing it. Thank you for being here today and fighting for what you believe in. There's a power with that. I love you all. As always, question everything. Come to your own conclusions. Let's see. As always, I forget to look at this before I finish. Come to your own conclusions. Here we go. I'll finish this one again. Well, trying to think about, you know, actually on that note, before we wrap up, guys, if there's anybody out there who is interested, I was actually just speaking with somebody who in graphic design, but if you're interested in making, whether it's graphic design or video content or things for The Last American Vagabond or advertisements or you know, things like that, or even, as I mentioned, music videos for the songs that I've been making, please reach out, ryan@thelastamericanvagabond.com, because I'm interested in more, you know, in getting more of that done so we can continue to get this stuff spread. So again, thank you for being here. I love you all. Stay vigilant.